And I say good morning, and it is truly a privilege to be a king's kid this morning in his kingdom to do his will. Good morning to my Blog Talk folks and my Running for Christ Ministries family. It's Saturday. Let's go to school. Sounds like y'all ready out there.
Good morning, ready.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, mother.
Good morning.
Let's open up with prayer this morning. Father, this morning we thank you for the privilege to be able to call the creator of the universe, the one who sustains and holds everything in his power, our Father. And because of that, that gives us an assurance to know that whatever we're going through, whatever we're experiencing around us, you have it. You are in control. You take care of us. And, Father, we don't want to just know that by words we say, but by how you proved it. And you proved it, most importantly, through your Son. So right now, open our hearts, Holy Spirit, to hear what you have to say in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hold on.
All right. I see we are all surviving through the conditions that are just amazing how the media wants everybody to be afraid of everything. But I was walking this morning outside, and I was breathing in, and I was listening to a song that was saying, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. So even though they say the air quality is unhealthy for us, we thank God because he's the one who gives us breath. And I'm just wanted to share that little bit with y'all as we deep dive back into what we believe, not just knowing what, but why we believe it. Because we need to know what we believe and be able to articulate it to other people, not just with our words, but with our lives. So we are getting into we believe in the kingdom, and that the kingdom of God / heaven is the same thing, same place. It's the place where God dwells, and it's God's reign and rule over the earth as he intended it to be from the beginning. And so as we go further, we're still studying the Sermon on the Mount, which started in Matthew chapter 5. And this morning we're picking up in Matthew chapter 7, where we're going to talk about a hotly debated topic, judging others. So if someone would read Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6.
It reads as follows. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Amen.
Amen. All right. And what are the first three words of this passage?
Do not judge.
So first we have to understand the word judge has many definitions. And even in our language, in the English language, many definitions. But for you, when you hear the word judge, what comes to mind?
Court.
Yes.
Criticism.
Mm. So we got court, we got criticism. Somebody else? Yeah, everybody quiet this morning. That's all right, I got enough people participating. All right, so when we think of court and a judge in court, what is that judge's job?
To make fair rulings.
Okay. And we hope that the judge is not biased, or which unfortunately all human beings are biased. So we hope that the judge will be, as you said, fair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So yeah. Now, and I heard, what was the other one? Other word besides court?
Criticism,
was it? Okay. So what do you think of is criticism? Okay. Because words have multiple meanings. They can be negative and positive.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a criticism, you know, when somebody says, hey, you left off a letter on that sentence. That's a criticism. But then if somebody says, I don't like the font you used when you typed that letter, that's a criticism. So I'm supposing that we're thinking negatively when we say criticism, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I suppose you could do it positively.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, many of us, if we went through school, especially back in the day, when you would write a paper and your professor or teacher would go through your paper with a red pen, that was criticism. That was them going through showing you your errors. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Say a critique. That's a good word.
No.
Yeah.
That was a critique. So it's the same root word. So here we're looking at Jesus where he says, do not judge or you too will be judged. When Jesus is saying do not judge, he is talking about condemnation. And he goes on to explain it further. Before we get there, look at verse 2. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured. So we're looking, Jesus is using the word judge in a negative
uh-huh.
sense, because there's also good judgments we make. So he's usually talking about it in a negative sense. And he goes on to talk about it. What example does he give us in verses 3 through 5? I was singing in unison.
The speck in somebody's eye.
Okay, a speck in somebody's eye. And then what did he say about the person who's discerning or judging that speck in their eye?
They have a beam in there.
So
a telephone pole.
Now, they have a telephone pole. That's a good way of looking at it, too. So let's think about that. If you just visualize that for a second, you have a big old telephone pole or a big old 2x4 in your eye, but you're noticing a speck in somebody else's eye. Can you see clearly?
No.
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 Not at all. There is an obstacle in your way to see clearly. And as a matter of fact, more than likely, you're seeing a speck in their eye because you're actually seeing your own beam.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sound like that resonated. So what is Jesus literally telling people? Why shouldn't we judge?
Because we can't see clearly.
Plain and simple. That's why he used the word. What did he say in verse 5? You what?
Hypocrite.
You hypocrite. I mean, we're transparent here. We've all done this. Usually, the thing we come down on people the most about is the very thing that we do.
Yes.
And just convicted.
If I write all our hands are raised, yes, me too. The whole new Me Too movement.
Yeah.
That's usually, you know, when you parents, you know with your kids, what's the hardest thing you come down on them with?
When you see them making the mistakes that you made.
So Jesus is saying, don't condemn people, first of all, because you can't see clearly. You have your own issues. You're not in a – wait a minute. None of us are sinless. Let's go somewhere. Go to John chapter 8. And somebody read verses 1 through 11 of John chapter 8.
But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Say 1 through 10?
11.
1 through 11, I'm sorry. At this, those who began to go away at one, I'm sorry, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "And neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin."
All right. So we know this is this beautiful story of, and we have so many takes we can take on the story about where was the man, what did Jesus write. But the position is Jesus' words, because they wanted to stone this woman, or they wanted Jesus, they were really just trying to trap Jesus into a situation to get him to go against their rabbinic traditions. And when they brought this woman to Jesus, this is what the part I really want to get to. At the end of verse 10, after everybody who was there got convicted, okay, which one of you is without sin, you throw a stone. And I'm surprised he didn't use in that passage the word, "you hypocrites." But he didn't have to, because he called them hypocrites without calling them hypocrites. Which one of you is without sin? So the one who's without sin, you be first. You throw a stone. Who threw a stone?
No one.
No one. Who could have thrown a stone?
None of them.
Jesus.
Because he was the only one there who was without sin. And what did he say to her in the end? When he asked her the question, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one." What did Jesus say?
"I don't
go now and leave your life of sin."
Before that, he said what?
"Then neither do I condemn you."
So the one who actually could condemn her did not condemn her. The one who actually could judge her did not judge her. So now when we go back to Matthew in chapter 7, why is Jesus telling us not to condemn other people?
Because we ain't
because we are not without sin.
We're not without
sin. And it's sin.
And then if you've been rolling with me on the parables, you understand wheat and tares. The wheat and the weeds, while
right.
they're growing up, can you tell the difference?
No, they look the same.
They look the same. So if we judge, we'll end up tearing up somebody who actually, as Jesus told her, leave your life of sin. Don't go back to this. This woman becomes a follower, probably, of Jesus. But if they had stoned her, she would have never come to know no condemnation. So the reason Jesus is telling us not to judge is because we don't have the ability to determine whether or not somebody is savable. Only God knows that. And then he goes on to kind of preface it a little bit by saying, for the same way you judge how you treat others, this goes back to the golden rule, how you treat others, treat them the way you want to be treated. Do you want somebody looking at you in your worst state and determining that you're worthless, that you deserve death?
No. I want to be treated better than I deserve.
So that's why he's saying don't judge. So, you know, I know, and then people say only God can judge me. And rappers, I think Tupac was the one who coined that phrase. But when you say that, do you understand what you're saying? Yes, only God can judge you because only God can determine. Only God knows your heart. But do you
right.
want to? Do you want to be under the judgment of God?
No, thank you.
I mean, no, because he sees the wrong things too.
Mhm.
You know.
And the book of Ephesians in the second chapter it says, but God who is rich in mercy. And so
mm-hmm.
so since God is literally is the street would say dripping with mercy, God doesn't want it's desire that none should perish, that all come to a saving knowledge. So when we judge, we are not getting all the facts anyway. We can't see clearly. And the bottom line is all of us got some beams and specks and 2x4s and telephone poles that we need to get before God and let him deal with.
Right.
So Jesus is saying in the kingdom, don't judge each other. Pray for each other. And then when it comes to the world who are people outside of the kingdom, he gives another thing in verse 6. Don't give to dogs what is sacred. That was a common term, dogs. Gentiles, people outside of Jews, were considered dogs. And it's not in like the four-footed animal. It was just the term that they used. It was negative, but that's what they called them. And so he's saying, I wouldn't give my iPhone to my dog. He don't know what to do with it. And because he's a pretty good-sized guy, he would probably tear it apart.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, don't give the people who don't know what to do with what you have the things that they can't handle. You wouldn't give your pearls, your precious jewels to pigs. Pigs like mud and flop. And if you've ever been on a pig farm, you know what that is. They'll roll around in it, and it'll be disgusting when they get through with it. Don't give to precious people. So a lot of times we as believers have to watch out, and this is really the core of Jesus. When we're looking at the world, everybody, Christ died for everyone. Everybody has the potential to be weak. So if we start tearing them down, they'll never come to know him. So let's not judge each other. Now, there is a difference between the words judging and discerning. But discerning is more about assessing a situation and understanding what's going on. It is not about saying they're worthless. They're going to hell. Discerning is trying to figure out, you know, what's going on here? How did they end up where they are? And so that's where we have to learn how to totally rely on the Holy Spirit. Do we make judgments? Yes, because we're thinkers. We should be critically thinking when we see situations and people in situations. Should I step in and help? Is this a time for me to step back and just pray? You know, what should I do in regards to this station? Making a judgment. But when it comes to people and where they are, make sure you check to see that your vision is clear before you start going any further. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Any questions? All right. I kind of like that in the kingdom, that we don't get to be judged. Sure.
Okay. My question is this, because I find a lot that I am judged, you know, more than I care to be, but still I treat that person with the love and respect because that's the way I want to be treated. But in saying this, so if I don't have the power to discernment in that particular moment, how am I supposed to continue to love and respect somebody who study judge me on maybe just my voice? I get judged, believe me, in every aspect. It's always somebody got something to say, you know, and I've learned to just still be me, regardless. You know, if you don't like what you see, that's on you. You know, everybody not going to do it according to how you want them to anyway, but I try to live my life now at this point because I used, you know, wanted to fight back. I scoff at you, but now I look at it like it is what it is. If you're going to judge me and you don't know me, I'm just going to still show you the love and kindness that I want to be shown regardless. So in saying this, I'm asking that, is it wrong for me to still feel the hurt from somebody judging me but still show them love? Because sometimes, you know, like I said, we're human. Sometimes you're going to get that human side of me instead of that Christian response. But, you know, as I grow into my Christianity, I'm learning that even your loved ones, everybody don't do what you want them to, how you want them to do it, but it's a command of ours to still love them as I would love myself. You know, so I'm like, okay, at this point, Lord, I got to love you more just to be able to deal with anything else that goes on out here, you know. So my question is, am I wrong for still feeling a little negativity because I'm being judged?
And the answer is, you know, it's, I know these young people did this some years back and people made fun of it. What would Jesus do?
Exactly.
They made fun of him, too.
Mm-hmm.
They said they thought he was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They played the who's your daddy with Jesus. They dug at Jesus,
okay,
too. So even to the point of lying on him to kill him. So, but he still, as you already understood it, you actually talked it out. You still treat them the way you want to be treated. You still follow his, he was gracious. He was merciful. He did not give them what they deserved. Because they deserved, like that woman, she deserved for him to say, you know what, where's your adulterer who was cheating with you? Because both of y'all getting stoned today because I have the right to do it because I'm without sin. But he said, I don't condemn you. So even in the situation, He was merciful to the guys who were standing there trying
to
set them
up. Yeah, he just rode in the dirt. Right. He didn't say nothing. He just...
Yep.
He just started writing.
So that's what I always point to, because feelings are real. And we're emotional creatures. We're created that way. But our goal is to move past our emotions to go to our thinking. If our emotions rise up first, we won't think. We'll just act. But when our emotions are a trigger to get us to start thinking, and that's when, in other words, for us, start praying. You know, Lord, I need your help right now, because I'm about to go there.
Right. Yeah, I do it.
Say, I'm going to stay safe. Ain't going to stop.
I might be doing prison ministry from inside. Mm. But, you know.
Right.
And that happened earlier this week. So, yes. I like this because we live this in real time. You know, we're not walking around here with wings hidden under our clothes and halos. We are still dealing very much with our humanity, our flesh, that is still being redeemed. And so, yes, that's your process. Keep treating people the way, and then keep praying for the grace to keep treating people the way you want to be treated. So,
okay. All
because
right,
love covers a multitude of sin.
Yes.
All right.
Don't
judge. Keep going. Don't judge. So we're still in Matthew 7. Somebody pick up, and I need you to read verses 7 through 12. And let's talk about asking.
Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You can. If your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Amen.
All right. So, Paul, verse 12.
Okay. Do to others what you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets.
So you can sum it up, especially again with judging, that this is what it, treat others the way you will do to everybody the way you want to be treated. Treat them the way you want to be treated. But in order for that to kind of happen, you have to know how you want to be treated as well. What's the
you have to, you really have to walk with God too, Janet, because I'm telling
Absolutely.
You, you know, when I read it in the scripture, when Jesus was asked what's most important, he said that you put no other God before me and that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mm-hmm. Those are the standards that I live by every day. Despite what goes on in this world, those are the standards that I live by. That's the hope that I have that everybody will see this and stop judging.
And that's the standard that he's called us all to live by. He summed it up, like he said, he's summing up the law of the prophets. It's the same thing. If you love God and you love your fellow human beings the way that you're supposed to love your neighbor, if you love your neighbor, you love God. You walk through this life, it's not that you'll be trouble-free. It's not that you won't be judged and abused. It is that you will
right.
be fulfilling what God has called us to do. Kingdom will show up. People will see that God reigns and rules in your life, and you will watch
right.
God reign and rule in your life. That's the key. And a lot of people take these passages of Scripture, but when you pull it up, there's a statement. It says, a text without a context is a pretext for a proof text. In other words, when you just take a verse of scripture and you pull it out from its context, you're trying to make a use. It's you're trying to beat people up with it or prove a point. Where Jesus is telling us, treat others the way you want to be treated. Why? Because we're talking about kingdom. We're talking about how you live in relationship with God and other people. That's what he's talking about. So when he's talking about asking and knocking and seeking, he's not talking about give God your wish list and he'll answer your whole wish list. Remember back in the day when we were kids and we had a, we used to get the catalogs at Christmas. Some of us over a certain age can remember this. And then and so we would sit and go through the catalog and kind of make a wish list. And then come Christmas, you didn't get that wish list because the budget was predicated on your parents. And if they had in our house, there were seven of us, you wasn't getting a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. You were getting that one main thing you asked for, maybe.
Exactly.
So people approach God with a wish list. We go to our Heavenly Father with a wish list. We have marked, dog-eared every page in the catalog, and we use this verse to support it. But this is not what Jesus is talking about. This is saying that you're in a relationship with a Father who wants you to come to him because he knows what you need. Remember chapter 6? And in last week's lessons about not worrying because your Father has, he knows what you need before you even ask. So Jesus is basically getting to the summary of the Sermon on the Mount. So he's saying you can ask, you can seek, you can knock and the door will be open. And it's not your wish list, it's according to his will, what you need. So when we go to God and you say, Lord, I'm this anger, I'm struggling with it, we can ask him because we know he there's some text, there's some scripture in the Bible that talks about anger. When we ask God, Lord, I'm struggling to follow you, we can ask. We can get, and he says, let's get in the word. And then all of a sudden you're sitting there and your phone rings and it's the person who prays with you all the time.
Amen.
Or to knock, Lord, I need opportunity. I need a way, I need access. I need you to go ahead of me before I go to this doctor visit. We can go to him. He's our Father. But if I go to him and say, you know what, Lord, I'm overdue for that Bentley that I want in my driveway that I don't have a garage to put in. But Lord, I'm ready for my miracle. I sown my seed. I'm ready for you to bless me with $1 million seed back. You know, again, we treat God like he's like a slot machine where we put in and we expect him to pay out. But Jesus is saying, no, this is a relationship. And it's an open relationship. You can ask. You can seek. You can knock. You have access. And because our Father loves us, if we go to him and we say, Lord, my groceries are low, he says, God doesn't say, too bad, sorry for that. No, he's like, you need food, so let me provide it. And then again, here comes somebody knocking on your door saying, hey, we were collecting boxes today, and we just thought we'd bless you all with a box.
Mm-hmm.
So he's encouraging a people who were used to praying prayers that were structured. They were used to praying prayers that weren't relational. They remember when they came to the mountain, after the Exodus, they came to the mountain and the Lord wanted to speak to them. And God started speaking, and they were like, Moses, no. You go talk to God, and you tell us what he thinks. because they didn't draw near. They didn't know how to draw near. They just come out of 400 years of idol worship, literally. And so they didn't learn that you can, God is relational. The kingdom, this isn't just a king and his servants. This is a king and his family. Because the scripture tells us we're a royal priesthood. We're a kingly family. So Jesus is telling his people that are listening, in the kingdom, you can come to the throne of grace. You can come to the king's throne, and you don't need an invitation. And you don't need to clean up and look a certain way to be before the king. You can come. So he's teaching them about relationship more than anything. All right. On your papers, you don't have these verses, but I am putting them there because this is part of it. Verses 13 and 14, somebody read that.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Amen.
All right. What is Jesus talking about?
Way to heaven.
The way into the
kingdom. Heaven.
Kingdom. The way into the kingdom. So is the way into the kingdom wide or narrow?
Narrow.
Why is it narrow?
Because there's only one way to get there.
Oh, and the way is?
Jesus.
All right. I'll pass the class today. That's it. Everybody gets an A. Understanding that. It's true. It's true. I remember reading this book, and it was talking about these people were on a lake or a river, and there was a giant, like, yacht on this lake. It must have been a river. Anyway, on this river, and there were people, the music was playing, it was partying, it was fun, everything was big, you know, it was beautiful. Like, and so everybody, and then there were people on inner tubes in the water. And so a lot of people that were on the inner tubes were like, why are we on these inner tubes when we could be riding in luxury on the yacht? So they would get off and get onto the yacht, and the one person just stayed on the inner tube. But the inner tube, when it was going down the river, when it hit the rapids, the yacht crashed. But the inner tube was able to keep the person afloat even in rough waters.
Mm.
So Jesus is basically, there's plenty of people. The wider the gate, the more people, you've been to concerts and whatnot, when they open the gate, people flood in. And nobody wants to walk around the back of the building where there's like only one little gate. And you can just walk through easily because everybody's over here. We should be over here. And we're like, well, why is there another door over there? How come we can't take that door? So Jesus is saying, I'm the only way. I'm the narrow gate. And he's really talking about sheep gates. So anyway, side lesson. We're done. You got that. Let's finish up. Chapter 7, verses 15 through 27. Let's start out with those. Somebody read 15 through 23.
Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them. Said to 23. Okay. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Okay. Let's see if my teacher's on the call. Remember this. What is the number one problem that most New Testaments write about? New Testament writers write about.
I don't know. No.
It's right there in verse 15.
False prophets.
Every New Testament writer writes about false prophets. Jesus talks about false prophets. And as he said, wolf in sheep's clothing, false prophet. It is the number one problem. And so this is where people get the judging and discerning thing mixed up, because there's certain people that I just call out and say they're a false prophet. And people just like, well, you can't judge them. No, but I'm discerning. And Jesus tells us how to know the difference. What does he tell us? How do we know whether somebody is a false prophet or not?
By their fruit.
So if they say they're an orange tree, what should be on the tree?
Strawberries.
There should be oranges on the tree, right?
Yeah.
But you go there and then there are vines growing and there's strawberries all over the tree. Something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know a tree by its fruit. That's why in heaven help us here in the U.S., because we've mixed Christianity with Americanism. So
Amen.
We think that Christians and American is synonymous. If you're an American, you're a Christian, unless you've declared yourself to be a Muslim or something. That's how we think. If they're not Muslim, then they're Christians. But then when you listen to what people say and you see how they live and treat other people, what fruit should we see in people who are truly followers of the Christ?
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering.
Fruit of the Spirit.
That's right.
Kindness, gentleness,
mm-hmm.
self-control. You know. Now, some of us, we got fruit. It's just still, you know, the blossom just fell off, and it's little piece of fruit there. But there's fruit there that can identify what tree it belongs to. So a lot of people say they're Christians, but nothing about them is Christ-like. And so when you listen to people who call themselves prophets and pastors and teachers, you have to listen and you have to know. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me, and another they will not follow. So when you know what Jesus sounds like and how Jesus is, and if somebody says they're in Christ, but they're not doing it. Now, remember, we don't know who's in hell or heaven, but there should be some signs. Even if an apple tree does not produce an apple, it will have apple blossoms on it.
Okay.
There will be something that tells us that tree belongs. And so you know a tree by its fruit. He made it simple. But somehow, you know, because our humanity gets involved in it, oh, we're not supposed to judge, but we can discern. Because when I go to the grocery store and I go to buy blueberries, I'm not over in the potato aisle because I'm looking for blueberries.
Right.
That's discerning. And so when people say, so when it comes to people who especially are teaching us or leading us, there have been so many false prophecies in the last few years and even more coming. This one lady, she's tripling down on it. And it's like, stop it. Because another thing, the Old Testament tells us that, or the other Testament tells us that, that if a prophet's words, when they speak their words, if it doesn't come to pass, they were false. So, you know, so we've heard a lot. If you've been paying attention to the television and the news and all these different, they didn't see what was coming yesterday coming. So they missed out on something. All right. So the way you know if people are kingdom, you know a tree by its fruit. And we know fruit means that it's seed-bearing. So that's why I don't buy seedless watermelons. Anyway.
No.
That's true. Fruit's supposed to have seeds in it that can produce more fruit. All right, so Jesus gave us a hint, and that's why he said there'll be a lot of people that have, they prophesied, they performed miracles, they did all this great thing, and he'll say, I never knew you, because you looked like fruit tree, but you weren't producing fruit that looked like the root of the tree. All right, I'm going to keep going because I need to finish. Verses 24 through 27.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, okay, yeah.
You can go ahead. You might as well finish it off.
When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Right. Because he taught as one who had authority. He taught as the one who authored the law. He taught as one who authored it. And so he taught, and simply put, if you're building something, put it like this. Let me get back to the word. Everyone who hears whose words?
Perfect.
Okay. Everyone who hears the words of God, Jesus, because he's speaking the words. He only speaks the words of God. Who hears his words, but also does what?
Put them into practice.
Oh, so you can't just know what, but you got to know why. Because you can tell me what, but if I don't know why I'm doing something, I'm not going to learn it.
Okay.
If I don't put it into why does he say don't judge? Because I don't have the ability to. I'm not God. Why does he say don't worry? Because I'm supposed to trust him because he supplies all my needs. Why does he say, so if you put it into practice, and the thing about practice is the more you do something, the better you get at it.
The better you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if we're in the Word of God and we're reading the Word of God, it's one thing. But if you put the Word of God into practice, into your, like Loretta said, treating others the way I want to be treated, loving my neighbor as myself. If I put that into practice, which every day you get an opportunity to, then I'm like the person whose house is built on what?
The rock.
On what?
The rock. And who is the rock?
Jesus.
Jesus. He's our rock. And so because he's our rock, when things go bad around us, they didn't say they won't, because they will go bad around us. When life comes, when death comes, when health issues come, when financial issues come, when the country around you is falling apart, when the air quality is bad, whatever comes, because you have put into practice what Jesus is teaching and what he has said, what God has said, when it comes, what happens to you?
You persevere. You push ahead.
You persevere. You push ahead. You know one of the biggest commands in Scripture from Jesus, and it goes all the way to the end, it's to him who overcomes, to him who endures, to him who stays secure in the rock. No matter what happens, you stand. You're stable. You don't fall apart. But the people who just, I read the Bible, but never put it into practice. There's a lot of folks that read the Bible. There's a lot of atheists that have read through the whole Bible. Don't believe a word of it. There's a lot of people who can quote Scripture.
Yeah.
Never put it into practice, never went deeper to find out what it was talking about and why we should listen to the voice, what God is saying and doing. It's a lot of that. But as soon as something bad happens, they fall apart. And that's simply what Jesus is saying. If you hear my words, read my words, put it into practice, the things that you can practically apply to your life. When life happens around you, even when you're laying on your deathbed, you still don't fall apart because you know you're absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Amen.
So we have completed. We believe in the kingdom of heaven. We've laid a foundation for the kingdom. And I know your sheet says we're going to the parables next, but actually we're going to take a mini break from the kingdom, because I need to answer a question. Why do we need a kingdom? And what is this all about? What is God doing? So we're going to spend a few weeks going, and I'm going to challenge you all even some more, because this was a question I had to ask myself at one point. What is all this about? And what is going on? And what are we doing here? One of the existential questions. Why are we here? So we're going to be answering that question, and then we'll jump back in. For those who miss on Sundays, the parables, and you're going to be excited about
say?
That.
What the lecturer say? I don't know.
Good answer. Good answer. Good answer. And I have to pull all my notes together, so I'm going to be busy this week trying to put this together. But it's an important question to answer, because the world around us is with suicide rates being through the roof and murder rates escalating and all the craziness that we're seeing and hopelessness and despair. Amen. And again, the 24/7 cycle of be afraid, be very afraid. It's bad and it's getting worse and all of that. We need to know that we're on the rock and we need to be planted, and that when we say God is in control, we'll be able to say why we know God is in control. All right. Thank you all for your participation today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. Yes, thank you. Good class.
I'm trying to Exactly. As Amy Grant said, when you're entering the third act of life, you want to finish out strong. But I'm just more importantly, I want us to know our Savior in a way and continue to experience him like we've never experienced him before, so that we can grow up and be actually able to give an answer to everyone, to the whole persona, that we're not just chasing rainbows and bunny rabbits. We're actually pursuing the true and living God.
Rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah, and unicorns, yeah. All right, let us pray. Father, right now we are thankful for you. We are thankful for your love for us, that you loved us enough to reveal yourself to us, to tell us who you are and what you're doing. And we thank you for Jesus. So you didn't just tell us, you sent us the perfect example of how we are to live, how we are to walk, how we are to love. And because of him, we are now in relationship with you, and we want that relationship to continue to grow so that when we ask, you answer. When we seek you, we find you. When we knock, doors open for us. We praise you and thank you for this opportunity to be in class together, and we ask your blessing on everything that goes ahead. May it be saturated by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Pastor Janet, for another great lesson. You know, we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day. Okay.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. Okay, so if you're not participating in the next part of service, you could depress your one, and then you could be taken off of the host queue. Okay? All right, so get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets, and after this selection, we will start our morning worship service. All right?
We worship you, oh Lord.
That's right.
yet. Go ahead, DJ Pastor O. This is the way we praise you. And the sun is shining on both sides of the street, on you and on me. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a great day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am your presiding person, Kathy Clyburn, for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer is our very own deaconess, Rebecca Johnson. Good morning, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. He woke us up again. I'll start with our proclamation. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son. Jesus the King was sent by God the Father. Jesus the King took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David. Jesus the King died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Jesus the King was buried. Jesus the King was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Jesus the King appeared to many witnesses. Jesus the King is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ. Jesus the King has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and Jesus the King will come again as the final judge to rule. And our scripture for this morning is titled Spiritual Blessings. It's coming from Ephesians chapter number 1. Verses 3 through 11. That's Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 3 through 11. And it reads as follows. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that All who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Rebecca. You know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
And you too.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor.
Oh, God, once again, we come into your presence with expectancy in our hearts. God, we know you're going to bless us. So we lift our hands in the sanctuary, and we give you glory and honor.
We lift our hands. amen. All of us ought to have the voices of triumph. Amen. And we should be ready to praise God for the rest of our days. Why? Because we're God's children, and we don't worry about anything. Instead, we pray about everything. Guess what we do? We tell God what we need, and here's the part you want to hear. We remember what God has already done. Amen? And guess what we get after that? Perfect peace. And it won't go away. Why? Because the next time something comes up, it'll guard our hearts. Amen. And that's why we should always be ready in any church service, not to be entertained, but to make our praise to God glorious. Amen?
Come on, make a joyful noise in this house. Make a joyful noise. Come on, make a joyful noise.
I was created to make your praise glorious. Let me give you an example of that. You remember when God told Gideon to go fight the Midianites? They were described as a horde. Gideon went out with 32,000 men and put them before the Lord. The Lord dwindled them down to 300 and then divided the 300 and gave them weapons of praise. He gave them a horn, he gave them a jar, and he gave them a torch to put in a jar. That's what they had to fight with. And some words God gave them. Great is the God of Gideon and Gideon. Amen. Took away all their weapons of war and gave them weapons of praise. Amen. Did you hear what I said? God took away all their weapons of war and gave them, you know, for Paul and Silas to get out of that Philippian jail, they didn't have to pay bond or bail. They didn't have to get a lawyer. You know what they did? They praised God at midnight. That's all they had. Their hands were fastened to the walls and their feet were fastened in the stocks, and they gave praise to God at midnight. Told the jail up. Everybody got saved. Go read it if you don't believe it, Acts chapter 16. God have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sound mind and praise.
Come on, songs. Goes like this.
Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you.
Send the praise to China.
Praise.
Praise is what I do. Pastor, you always take us there. Highest praise. And we just thank you. We thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. And our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own Deacon Sir Charles Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deacon Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ride. Troubles come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go. Oh,
never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists to
they look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that we gon' be alright, we gon' be alright.
Tell them,
we gon' be alright. Alright.
Say
we gon' be alright.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder. Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble, shame,
shady appearance, and evil
attacks. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done
in the earth.
Let your glory rise, let your sun shine,
let it burn.
Hey, I ain't worried about it.
Oh, no.
Don't you worry about it.
Oh, no.
Hey,
Okay. I'm looking for the altar caller. Okay, altar caller, are you with us? Okay, it seems like we're having some technical difficulties.
Hello?
Oh, okay. There we go.
Okay. Sorry about that.
All right.
Okay. Good morning. All right. If you're listening to my voice right now, you know we're before the true and living God. And what I need you to do is whatever it is that you're taking to him right now, I need you to leave it with him. You know, I love it when I learn that it's kind of just like taking out your trash. When you take your trash out, you don't take your trash out and then go back out and pick it up and bring it back in. But what I need you to understand, too, is that the God that we're speaking to right now, the only true and living God, he already knows what's going on with you. First Peter tells us to cast all our care on him because he cares for us. And what I really want you to understand and know is that a long time ago, this same God went to the cross on our behalf, and he rose on the third day. And he's now seated in heaven next to the Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior. But you got to believe. And you just got to trust and believe that he's going to do what needs to be done in your life. And believe me when I tell you this, he already knows. Lord God, our Father, we come to you right now thanking you and praising you. Because you see, Father, you're the one that created everything and even us. Everything that we can see, Father, everything that we can feel, everything that we smell, everything that we touch, anything that's within our realm, you made it. And Father, what's so great about it is that you also made us. I love it what I read when you just took time out, when you bent down and fashioned us out of your own hands. We were made from dirt, but you made it. And then you breathe life into us, Father. And that life is a life that's an eternal life, Father, as long as we know you as our Lord and Savior. But Lord, right now we get in situations sometimes that get us completely caught up, Father. And we have no idea as to what to do about it. Sometimes they're not by choice, Father. Sometimes the money runs a little short, Father, when we can't pay a bill. Father, sometimes illness. And see, we're not in a perfect world right now. When you first made this world, you made it perfect. You made it so there would be no death, so that there was no disease, so there was nothing that could even harm us or come close to having us to be in a situation where we wouldn't be able to have everything we need, and what we need is you. But Father, we messed that up. Back in the garden, after you made us, you told us not to do one thing. And we did that. Adam, because of one man's sin, death and all this that we have in this world right now came upon us. But Father, the great part about it is we're talking to the one right now because of another man's sacrifice. You came here, Father. You took the form of a man, Jesus Christ, and you walked through everything that we grow through in this life, because you see, there was no justification, there was no satisfying, there was nothing we could have ever done, Father, to make it right with you, but something had to be done. So Jesus gave his life, stepped down from heaven, came from that place he's sitting right now on your side, just so that we might be able to come to spend eternity with thee, just to be made right with you. So we have to come to realize too, Father, that you didn't just give us salvation. You didn't just make us right with you, Father. You also provided everything that we need. You told us that we was going to have things happen in this life, Father, and things have been keeping us up all night last week, last year, for a long time. That's why we're here before you right now, casting our care on you, Father, telling you everything that's going on. But once again, Father, I know that the great part is that you hear each and every prayer. You said that you would bend your ear and not just hear each and every prayer and your answer. But, Father, it's our responsibilities as Christians that know, as believers that know what you'll do, to continue to pray for those that are still young in the faith, Father. Those that somehow or another just can't grasp what it is that you've done for us. So, Father, right now, that's my responsibility. That's our responsibility. See, back in John chapter 17, Father, you prayed for us. You prayed definitely for us. You said that you wanted all of us to have what it is that you've given us. And, Father, that thing that you've given us is eternal life. But you also told us you wanted to have an abundant life, Father. But right now we're in that place where we're saying everything has just gone completely wrong. And sometimes it has. But, Father, what we need to know and we need to come to understand and just trust and believe that you're going to take care of it. You see, Father, we do. But like we said, Father, sometimes we get a little weak. Sometimes we get discouraged. We know if we have you as our Lord and Savior, that our house is built, we learned this morning, on a solid foundation. And the winds and the waves are going to come. And they're going to slam up against the sides of these houses. But, Father, we can look around in this world and see. We can see with our own eyes where a house had once stood, but that foundation is still there. Something might have tore that house down, but that foundation is still there. And, Father, we know that you're our foundation. You're what we're built on. So when the winds and the waves come, Father, help us to just be still and know. See, we like to say that, Father, until something comes up. And then we get a little bit afraid. But you tell us, don't be afraid. When Peter walked on that water, Father, and he was told you told him that he could do it. But then when he started to sink, because he took his eyes off of you, Father, let it be that we just focus. Let's just make our focus you. And that's not easy for somebody that's new in the faith, Father. For some of us that's a little older, we know what you're capable of, Father. So I just ask right now that you show yourself to the one that's new in the faith, to that one right now, Father, that just say they can't do it anymore, that has finally turned, like you say in your word, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. See, Father, it ain't always wicked to get us into these problems. Sometimes things just happen. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a home, the loss of things that we cherish so much, just lost by itself, Father, or slam us up against the wall like a car going 90 miles an hour. But, Father, we got to understand that as long as you're in that car with us, as long as you're driving and we don't have the wheel, we'll be all right. And I know that's hard to fathom sometimes, Father. That's hard to really realize, Father. But we got to realize this, too. Father, we lay out every day, and we close our eyes and we go to sleep for 7, 8, 9 hours a night. We have no idea as to what happens around us while that time is going on. But then we wake up in the morning. And when we get up, we glad that we made it through another day. Father, for that time period, you keep us. You never sleep. You never slumber. You make sure that we're taken care of during that time period. So, Father, the same Lord God that we're talking to right now, put that food back on that table to those kids that don't have anything to eat, because I know you're going to do that. Help that person that needs to see you right now, Father. Get that bill paid. Of course, we know too, Father, we say anything that we ask in your name according to your will, you're going to do it. But the great part about it, Father, is you don't want us to be in need. You put plenty in this world. You have plenty around here for everybody to have everything that they need, Father. So direct them to that place that you have for them right now to solve that situation for them. See, when you rested a long time ago, when you created this world, you put everything in place. So move that thing out of the way that might be holding it back for them, Father, and let them see that you got your people everywhere, Father. Lord, we thank you. I can't do nothing but praise you, Father, because I know what you do. I've lived and watched and had the opportunity to come to understand and see for myself that's exactly what you will do. So, Father, do like you did with Gideon and Gehazi when he couldn't see. When he couldn't see the chariots all around, and you told him, open up his eyes, Lord, so he'll be able to see. He said, God, you don't love them no more than you love us. And that's the great part about it, Father. You loved us so much. So much. And we like to recite that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We are the world. And we're the world that you made. So, Father, let it be that the world we live in is not just the world that we grasp, but the world that you provided for us. Let it be that you become our world, Father. For that one that has any doubt at all right now that you exist, show yourself to them, Father. Because, see, heaven is big enough for everybody. You made enough room for all of us. And just like we can't even fathom how many different galaxies that are out there that you made, Father, that's how I've come to believe, Father, you can't tell me that you don't have a place. But you also told us that you was going to go. And when they prepare a place for us and when you got ready for us, you was going to bring us to them. But while we're here on this earth, Father, continue to give us those things that we need because you say you would supply our needs. But we got to remember this, Father, the stipulations to what it is that you said you'd do. Like I said, you said, if my people who are called by my name. So, Father, let it be that we get into your word and we find out just what it is that we're supposed to be doing, that how we're supposed to, what we're supposed to be doing, so that we will know how to access all those different blessings that you got from us. Pastor told me it's over 7,000 blessings, 7,000 different promises that you have for us, Father. But right now, Father, that's non-essential. Right now, just answer those prayers that's going up to them according to the way that you've decided to do it, Father. And see, we know, Father, you're going to answer according to your will. And your will is good, pleasing, and perfect. You never want anything but the best for us. So, Father, once again, for those children that might not have had anything to eat, have somebody knock on their door and bring that box of food to them today, Father. See, I know how you work, and I know what you do, and I know what you're capable of. Just like the sun comes up in the same place, and the sun goes down in the same place. All of this is yours, Father, and we are too. So we are casting all our care on you right now. And, Father, we come into the understanding that the reason that we do that is because you care for us, and you never, ever stop caring for us, not from the beginning, not in the middle, and not in the end. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning of the end, and you're everything in between. So all we have to do is make you our everything. For that one that doubts you exist, Father, let them come to understand that it's all about you. And with you, it's all about us. And it's always been that way. But we got to come to know you as Lord and Savior. Because, you see, you don't look on any sin and you don't answer prayers of unbelievers. So, Father, for that one that kind of doubts that you're there, help them understand. Help them become a believer right now. Because, see, it's all yours anyway. But the great part about it is that you consider us as being, we've been adopted into your family. You call us your children. We are brothers and sisters with Christ. The one who stepped down from heaven, gave his all for us. And for that, we thank you. But Father, once again, go ahead and do what you're going to do right now. See, I know you're going to show up and show out. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have right now to come to you, answer prayer. You hear each and every prayer that's going on right now, Father. You're going to answer those prayers. And, Lord, I thank you. I thank you because, see, I come to understand, too, and telling anybody out there, see, prayer changes things. And let it be that us, once again, as believers that know what you do, come to the altar in front of you. Go to the altar and talk on the behalf of those that have yet to come to know you, Father, and those that are with you right now that's going through what might consider troubled times. And, Father, is anything you lay on our hearts to do, anything that you tell us to do for another one, let us not hesitate to do that. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to talk to you one more time. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Sir Charles Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day. Thank you. All right. So far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I want to just say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessings. Amen. Time for that preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Let's prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate come in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind, times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the Word. But everybody seems to be quoting Scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits 'cause they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them more people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. I believe, yeah. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. 'Cause his hand is on me and it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments. So much I don't understand. So much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust you more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth. Your God, my God, our view. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith, and I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. years. Oh, I'm just one of them old people. God's got a hold on. Don't you let go of me, Lord, please. I believe. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people. God's got a hold on. I believe.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we come to you, first of all, praising and thanking you for another opportunity to hear from you through your word, through your servant, Meek, Father. I just ask that you move me completely out of the way, let no distractions come in, and you have your way, because you get all the glory, you get all the praise, you get all the honor today that is due your name. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer. Amen and amen. You know, the whole service lines up with what I'm going to be preaching about today. I am going to be preaching about the power of your praise. The power of your praise. And the scriptures that the Holy Spirit has given me to give to you for this message are Psalm chapter 34, verses 1 and 2, would say this: I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2 says this: magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And then Psalm 150 verse 6 says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6, David was in great distress, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, David was going through a lot of turmoil, but that didn't stop him from praising the Lord in the middle of the turmoil that David was going through. Paul and Silas were in a Philippian jail with disgusting rodents licking their wounds, but that didn't stop them from praising the Lord at midnight. You know, There is power in your praise, saints. There is power in your praise, saints. You know, many of you all know that I was born with spastic quadriplegic cerebral palsy, and spastic quadriplegic cerebral palsy is a medical condition where the signals in my brain didn't send enough oxygen to my muscles, and so I have a lot more spasms than most people do. But that has never stopped me from praising the Lord every day of my life for the last 35 years. Because you know what? I could have told the Lord, just take me on home. But I told the Lord, whatever you want me to do for you, I will praise you for it. Yes, there were times where, I had questions about my medical condition, but over the last 20 years of my 35 years of life, the Lord has answered those questions for me. And one of the questions that I had for the Lord was, Lord, why am I in this wheelchair? And I actually got mad at the Lord and told him, Lord, get me out of this wheelchair. And the Lord told me, son, don't talk like that. He said, just praise me for the fact that you are living, because it could be worse. He said, you could be in the hospital on a ventilator waiting to be taken off life support. And I said, and when he said that, I said, Lord, I will forever praise you for the rest of my days on this earth, even though they are going to be challenging. You know, saints, there is power in your praise. Now, I've been dealing with spastic quadriplegic cerebral palsy for almost 35 years. But that has never stopped me from praising the Lord every day of my life. I know you're saying to yourself, well, Pastor Terrence, you haven't always been like that. No, I have not. But the Lord gave me a different outlook over the last 20 years of my life. The Lord has provided me with a different outlook over the last 20 years of my life living with spastic quadriplegic cerebral palsy. No, it isn't easy. No, it isn't easy to deal with all the time. But I just keep thinking to myself, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue be in my mouth. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for you through Christ Jesus. What am I saying to you, saints? Praise God even when you don't want to, because there is power in your praise. There is healing in your praise. There is strength in your praise for God. And there is stability in your praise for God. You know, you're not going to have the best of days all the time, but there is no power in praising the enemy. There has always been power in your praise for God. So whatever you are going through today, there is power in your praise. Don't let anybody tell you that there is no power in your praise for your God, because in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, David was in great distress, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. In Psalm chapter 34, verses 1 and 2, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. Continually means whatever I have to endure in my life, I will constantly praise the Lord, because praise defeats the enemy. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, behold, I have given you power to walk on snakes and scorpions, and behold, I've also given you power to overcome every power of the enemy. The only way you can become, the only way you can overcome every power of the enemy is by constantly having a praise on your lips for your God in hard times. You know, I loved the songs that were played throughout the service today, because it reminds us that the Lord needs to be exalted no matter what we're dealing with. The Lord needs to be exalted. He deserves to be exalted. He wants to be exalted. The devil wants The devil wants us out of here. But you know what? The Lord wants to be praised because the Lord has brought us through many hard trials. And it's because of his grace and his mercy that we are still here today. So when we come to church, we should not have to be told to praise God, because look at what you and I have been through. We've lived through a COVID pandemic. We've lived through wildfire, air quality alert days for years, but God still hasn't stopped blessing us with what we needed to be blessed with. So whatever you are facing today, don't forget there is power in your praise. Because, and remember this, the enemy may want you dead. The enemy may want to kill you, but what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for our good. We wouldn't be here if God hadn't said in Genesis 15:20, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. And Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, for we know all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:37 says this, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So says whatever you are faced with today, whether it's a bill you can't pay or whether it's a cancer diagnosis, remember, there is power in your praise. And remember to always have a praise on your lips during the challenges of life, because John chapter 16 verse 33 says this. It says, in this life, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Colossians chapter 3 verse 21 says, set your mind on things above, and not on things on earth. Saints, we're going to be out of here one day. But until we get out of here to go home to be with the Lord, remember to always have a praise on your lips for an amazing God that created us from dust, because the enemy wanted us to be dead. But like I said, what God meant for evil, no, what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around and made it work out for our benefit. And even when you go to work, if you're around people who don't know who God is, if you're around people who are asking you, why are you so happy at work, even when you're going through what you're going through, tell them it's because I have a, tell them it's because I know that there is power in my praise. See, praise not only can defeat the enemy, but praise can heal a broken heart. Praise can heal a damaged soul. Praise for God can help you with so many physical things in your life. There is power in your praise, saints. So whenever you are faced with, whatever you are faced with this week, remember, in the hard times, remember, hard times are gonna come, but there is power in your praise. And the enemy may, and the Satan may tell you, I don't want you praising God. That's when you say, that's when you quote Psalm 150, which says this, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. When the enemy tells you that he doesn't want you praising God, quote Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8, which says this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When the enemy doesn't want you to praise God for what God has done for you, quote Psalms 34 and verse 1. Verses 1 and 2, which says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And to all the believers that are listening, if you're around somebody that is having a bad day at work and they need encouragement, tell them to read Psalm chapter 34, verse 1. Tell them to read Psalm chapter 34 and verse 8 and watch their attitude change. Because praise not only can heal you, but your praise can also heal somebody else's heart. So, saints, as you go through this week, whatever you go through, please remember this. There is always power in your praise. And don't let anybody stop you from praising the God that you worship. Because we were born into sin, but we have been set free by our elder brother Jesus, so that we can have, so that we can have the opportunity to praise God freely. So, what saints, whatever you go through, don't give up on God, and always keep a praise on your lips. No matter what challenge is coming your way, always keep a praise on your lips. Even if you can't talk, lift your hands and praise God for what he has done for you, for what he is doing for you, and for what he is going to do for you, because there is power in your praise. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the marvelous privilege. We thank you for the marvelous privilege that we get to come to you and bring our praise to you. We thank you for the elder brother who moves on our behalf because of our praise for you. Father, you get the glory, you get the honor, you get the praise, because you always deserve every ounce of praise that we give you. Father, your word was, Father, I'm going to be honest with you, your word was hard to preach. But it's because of you that I did what you wanted me to do in the way that you wanted me to do what you wanted me to do. And I give you the glory. I give you the praise. I give you the honor because you deserve it. And it was for your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
I've had my share of ups and downs, times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy.
They knew my pain.
They knew my pain.
good time.
Praise
Him.
Praise
when things are going wrong.
Praise
Him.
Praise
help me in here.
Praise
come on and pray.
It was a hard word, but a good word. Thank you, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, for that on-time word. We appreciate you and enjoy this beautiful day. Thank you. Okay, just standing in for our announcement guru, Crystal C, with the announcement. And here are the Runner for Christ Ministries announcements. Sunday, June 11th, and the entire month of June, we will celebrate Men of God. We will have our very own pastoral bringing the word. We encourage you to invite men, family, friends, neighbors, co-workers to join us as we celebrate men leading up to Father's Day. Okay? Our Sunday school begins at 9 a.m., teacher, assistant pastor, Janice Tate, followed by our worship service at 10 a.m. with our own praise team leading us in song. Monday, 6 o'clock, our new Bible class has begun. A textbook is required for this class. If you plan to be in attendance, check with Pastor Rowe for a book. He has two available. Please read the assignments before class, and the questions are at the end of each chapter for discussion. Pastor Rowe will be teaching this Monday. These classes are here on Blog Talk Radio. Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall will be teaching training day. Wednesday, 6 o'clock, our Bible reading class with Deacon Oliver Welch teaching the book of Zephaniah and Haggai. The questions are printed online for discussion. Friday, 7 p.m., Bring Back the Family with yours truly, Kathy Clyburn, your host. Pray for all the sick, shut-in, bereaved families. Elder Joseph Stevens in the hospital, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Deaconess Crystal Krupp, Nico Gaston, Doris Gaither, Ed Johnson, and Darius Freeman. All the caregivers, nurses, aides, and doctors, our president and leaders. For the June birthdays, we have Mother Cheryl Hamilton celebrated her birthday on the 6th. Keila Freeman celebrated her birthday on the 6th as well. Sharon Abraham will celebrate on the 14th. Deacon Eric Reed is going to celebrate on the 15th. Naomi Carter celebrating on the 22nd. Aletrius Cowan will be celebrating on the 22nd. I say Naomi Carter, 21st, and Aletheia Cowan, the 22nd. Okay, and that's in June. Just happy birthday to all and everybody all around this world that has a birthday in June. Okay? And just check your Runner for Christ Ministry website for all details and info. Pastor O, he does a lot of work daily to keep up our website, and he is looking for a dedicated, committed person to assist him with this, to assist him with his website. If you are interested, contact him if you would like to help him keep the website updated with the job listings and et cetera. We want to also keep the Cooper family in prayer, praying for the wife and Sister Gwen Cooper and the Cooper family and the loss of Clinton Cooper, businessman, owner of Coop's Casual Wear and various other businesses. Just keep that family in prayer. Thank you. And those are your announcements.
Okay, there we go. Thank you for doing double duty. We appreciate you stepping in, and I know Crystal really appreciates you stepping in.
She just got to get well.
Yeah.
No problem. You're welcome.
She'll be well. She ain't going to let herself be sick too long. She's going to keep Jesus on the main line. And I'm pretty
that's
sure she's
right.
going to keep on telling him what she wants.
Amen.
She'll be all right. But
yes,
thank you from
will.
Beginning to end. You know, this is unusual hearing your voice at this time in the service, but this is cool. This is cool, you know. And last night with that discussion about the what do we do after we leave here, our loved ones depart, and getting ready for that, that was awesome. You know, I was rocking and reeling on that. It took me almost to, you know, maybe an hour later than I normally go to sleep to get to sleep. Thinking about that. Yeah, that was some good stuff, though. It was really good.
It's something
really
to
good
think about, life after death. That's for sure.
It is. And being prepared for it on both sides. In this life, prepared to leave this life and prepared to go to eternal life. So that was real good. And plus, I love the sermons that the Lord pop into my head. Just listening to you guys. So you and your co-hosts, all of them. Thank you. All right, Cadillac. Have a
great
day.
Have a great day. Yes, sir.
Be the
beautiful.
Reason that somebody smiled today.
That's right.
See, I'm learning.
That's right. Oh, share the love and the blessing.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, you give me a whole lot of sense, right? You get ready to join Reverend O'Rear. Because you don't just sit on the pew and chew, and that's all you do. You in it, okay? Thanks, Kat.
You're welcome. Have a beautiful day.
I will. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in. And we really do. That's not just something we say because we've gotten to this point in the service. But we thank God because you don't have to be here. You know, when you woke up this morning and the thought about attending this worship service came into your mind, you didn't have to follow it. You know, the Lord would have allowed you to do whatever it is you thought to do. But you thought to do this, and I want you to know that we seriously thank God for you. And I don't want to forget, because we've been making some new inroads into some new places, so I want to thank the people all over the United States who listen to us, especially those over in South Korea. The United Kingdom has really picked up, and now we've grown in India and Brazil. So I want to say a big shout-out to all of you and everybody in Africa, and everywhere else in France and Germany, wherever you are listening to us, Alaska, Romania, we thank God for each and every one of you, and we keep you in our prayers, and we, you know, might not mention you all the time, but we know you're there, and we thank God for you. So for all of us, again, here in America, thank you for partnering, being friends with Running for Christ Ministries. God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves an excellent day. This is a day that the Lord has made. Amen. It's up to us whether we rejoice and be glad in it. Okay. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace until we all meet again. The whole church said amen. Big shout out to Pastor Terrence Tate, who brought a word. And remember what he said as you go through this week. Remember, there is power in your praise.
Now we'll have our second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's a ruler every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. I lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud. I sing it all day. Song is my prayer I give to only you. I know it can't compare to the gift from you. You gave me your love. You gave me your son. Oh, oh, oh. Say yeah.